Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Thursday. Super Bowl getting close. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and right here in FS1. Game's getting close. Got my pick tomorrow. We'll unveil the pick today. I got Greg Olson. I got Russell Wilson. I got Darius Leonard on the show today. Joy Taylor is joining me on a Thursday. We're getting very, 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 very close. Very close.
Oh, so close.
Very close.
Very. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Greg Olson later this hour. Russell Wilson, top of next hour. Even industry leaders have off years. Now, let's say Apple. You're battling Apple in the tech sector. And Apple comes out with an iPhone, and it's got a bunch of glitches. Apple is vulnerable. This is time for Apple's rivals to take advantage. Let's say you're an automaker. And you're battling a Ford or a Chevy or a GM, one of these great companies, and they have a major recall. They have a brake pad issue. They are vulnerable. You're the number two sales guy in your workforce, and the number one sales guy is going through a divorce. He got a DUI. He's vulnerable. He's wobbling. This is your year. Even industry leaders are vulnerable. Have off years, have controversies in every business, even football. I know you hate the Patriots. I don't, but I know most of you do. I just want you to realize this was the year to knock them off. Okay, they finally had a controversy. Okay, they haven't had a controversy like this in 18 years. They finally had one. Belichick, Brady, first big argument. He slept on the couch. Their number one draft pick at the number one need on the team, left tackle, got hurt. The guy protecting Tom Brady, the rookie from Georgia, got hurt, never played. Major issue. They had to scramble, make a trade with the 49ers. The veterans, many of them, important veterans, Danny Amendola, Deion Lewis, Malcolm Butler, they all left at once in free agency. Whoa, these were good players. And they all left. Julian Edelman was suspended for 4 games. He was out for all of September and coming off an ACL. We just didn't know how good he was going to be. You had the Josh Gordon distraction. That was just a mess that really, the Pittsburgh game, you were like, what's wrong with New England? I mean, it literally disrupted a game for them. And then a week ago, you had to play a road playoff game. Talk about an obstacle. I mean, this was the year to beat them. Tom Brady talked about this the other day. This has been roadblock after roadblock.
It's never linear. I mean, I guess you have a few years in there, and I can think of a few in our team history that just kind of went, like, obviously the 07 team. And you know, 2010, I thought we had a great team. We lost to the Jets in the playoffs. And there are some other years that are just, you gotta fight and claw. 2001 was like that. This year has been like that.
But here's the problem for the rest of the NFL. None of those problems, the controversy, the number one draft pick that didn't play, the veterans that all left in free agency, Edelman being suspended for September, the Josh Gordon mess, having to play a road game in the playoffs against the MVP quarterback, they probably don't face any of those next year. My guess is they're not going to have their second big distraction, their second big Brady-Belichick beef. They've got 12 draft picks, really 14 if you count the two picks last year that won starting jobs and got hurt. There's no big free agent losses looming other than maybe Trey Flowers, and I think they pay for him. Gronk is leaving, said as much yesterday. That'll free up cap space. And the Jets and the Dolphins have new head coaches, translation, new systems. That takes a little bit. So that probably takes those teams to October, early November. New coach, new system, new offense, new defense to kind of be upright and formidable. Folks, this was the year. And they're in the Super Bowl, and they're favored by a field goal, and even the sharps in Vegas, all nine of the biggest bets are on New England. If Apple comes out with a glitch in their iPhone, or a major automaker has a brake pad issue and has to do a recall, or the number one salesperson is going through a divorce, industry leaders are all at some point vulnerable. You better take advantage. And this year, the Rams are the last chance to take advantage of a vulnerable dynasty, the longest in NFL history. All right, let me shift to this. Anthony Davis. Lakers, LeBron. It's going to happen, right? We're just not sure when. Well, according to reports, the Pelicans general manager, Dell Demps, is not picking up the phone. He is so mad, he is not picking up the phone. In fact, according to Mark Stein, New York Times, if no trade materializes between now and the February 7th deadline, they may just shelve Anthony Davis and not play him for the rest of the year. Oh, boy. There are several stages of divorce. There's the yelling and screaming stage. There's the bitterness stage. There's the simmering stage. And then there's the acceptance stage. They are clearly in the bitterness stage. The general manager will not pick up the phone. They're thinking if a trade doesn't get done, they're not even going to play Anthony Davis. They're not even to the simmering stage yet. They're in the bitter stage. Maybe no yelling and screaming, but they're in the bitterness stage. Pelican fans, never forget this. NBA already bailed you out once. Chris Paul deal. Okay, just remember that. And you have to remember this for people in New Orleans. In every league, college or pro, there are destinations with historic advantages. LSU football will forever be a more attractive place than Missouri football or Kentucky football or Vanderbilt football. Forever. 100 years from now, LSU will be a cooler place to play college football than Missouri, than Mississippi State. I'm not saying those programs aren't good, but it'll always be cooler. By the way, in the NFL, Green Bay and Buffalo will never be top free agent markets. One's been to four Super Bowls, lost all of them, but got to four, and Green Bay won it with Favre, they won it with Bart Starr, and they won it with Aaron Rodgers. They've had to overcome that. New Orleans is never going to be a free agent destination. Either was Cleveland until a kid named LeBron was born in Akron. Either was Orlando, and they got to two finals. There are certain absolute truths in college sports. Kentucky basketball is always going to matter more than Oregon State basketball. Forever. Alabama football is always going to mean more than Kentucky football. Forever. And there are certain markets in the NBA. Sacramento is never going to be a glamour market. New Orleans, Orlando are never going to be a glamour market. But look on the bright side. Anthony Davis gave you a heads up. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to stay here. By the way, the next guy you draft, if he's as good as Anthony Davis, you'll get about 6 years with him, and then he'll also decide, yeah, I'm not going to stay here. You got 6 years with him. Now he's giving you a heads up. So go get three or four players, two or three draft picks, reboot. Just because a star leaves, what did you lose in this whole deal? You had him for 6 years. You were 1-8 against the Warriors in the playoffs. You weren't doing anything with him. By the way, the Washington Wizards star got hurt, John Wall. They're better without him. You seen the record last 2 years when he gets hurt? The Boston Celtics got to the Eastern Conference Finals Game 7. This year they got their stars back. Gordon Hayward's clogged everything up. They were better last year. By the way, the Indiana Pacers, Paul George says, I'm out of here. He gave him a heads up. The Pacers front office, Kevin Pritchard did a great job. They're better without Paul George. You just have to come to the realization there are certain truths in sports. The Oakland A's have won a lot of games. It's not where free agents go. The San Antonio Spurs, it's not where free agents go. Doesn't mean he can't win. Green Bay Packers and Buffalo, they've been to, between the two of them, what, 10 Super Bowls? Free agents don't want to go there. There's different ways to win in sports. Anthony Davis is never going to be built for 14 years in New Orleans. If you get a guy like Anthony Davis, you're going to get him for his first contract. The way the NBA contracts work, you'll get him for a second, but he's not signing a third there. And you got in Cleveland, you got LeBron for a contract, and then a second contract, and then he went to Miami. You didn't get a third straight contract out, and when he came back, he did one-year deals. You can get stars in those markets. You're not getting a third contract out of them. You get their rookie deal, then they re-sign to make the first big money of their life, and then they're generally gone. Okay, so you have your 6 years if you're Cleveland with LeBron. You couldn't do anything. You had your 6 years with Anthony Davis. Jrue Holiday's your next best player. Couldn't do anything. But this is not even. The Yankees are a glamour market. The Red Sox are a glamour market. Okay? LSU football is a glamour program. Texas football is a glamour program. But right now, in the divorce stage, the Pelicans are in the bitterness stage. And I would strongly recommend you get to the simmering stage and you get to the acceptance stage, because you better pick up the phone, get three players, maybe four, get several draft picks, reboot. It's been proven time and time again. The way you're going to get stars is draft them. You'll get them for 6 years, but you're not getting them for a third contract. Lakers will keep theirs. Yankees can keep theirs. Red Sox can keep theirs. LSU football will keep the best high school players in their state. Just the way the game works. No reason to pout about it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
It's very important that for a radio show, for a football team, if I say New England Patriots, their brand is system over player, really, really smart. You know, that's important. That's their brand. Golden State Warriors, analytics, very comfortable with stars. They shoot the three. That's their brand. You know what you're getting when you're going in. So everybody in the building knows this is what we are. New England, we draft smart players. We don't draft egos. It's system. It helps the scouts. It helps the coach. It helps the staff. It helps the owner. It helps everybody. Golden State, if you can't shoot threes, we don't have a lot of need for you. If you can't deal with other people and handle stars, we don't have much need for you. Establishing a brand is very important, from the owner to the GM to the coach, in sports, out of sports. DeSean Jackson yesterday, and we predicted this. We said if the Rams get to the Super Bowl and win it or not, get there, they are establishing a brand in this league. And remember that Le'Veon Bell tweeted a week ago. He tweeted about the Rams. He said, hey, look what they're doing. It's working for them. Le'Veon Bell is saying, as a star player on the market, that's a team. I like that team. I like what they do. Well, DeSean Jackson, not even a free agent yet, talked about where he'd love to end up.
Worst case scenario, if anything, I would like to kind of end up in L.A.
Sean McVay,
you know, we got some connection from where I was in D.C., but you know, we'll see how it plays out.
There you go. Think about this. The L.A. Rams have not been in this city for a full 3 years yet, and they've already established their brand. They are officially the glamour franchise in the NFL. Not saying the best, they're the glamour franchise. They're fun, stars are welcome, we'll take divas, lots of offense, we don't make you play in the preseason, our practices aren't burdensome. They've already got now play. It's very NBA feel to it. Stars are absolutely welcome here. And you know who deserves credit on this? Jerry Jones of the Cowboys. This organization was in the NFL forever in St. Louis, and they didn't have any brand. They were Tampa. They were Detroit. They were Jacksonville. They were the Jets. They were Arizona. What's their brand? What's their point of view? What are they? Okay. Jerry Jones went to the owner, Stan Kroenke. They're very close, have been for years, done business for years, and said, get this thing to L.A.
You got Los Angeles.
You got a bunch of land in Los Angeles. Build a stadium. Okay, I'll go to the owners. Get to Los Angeles. Help our league. Even though they're rivals, even though they're in the NFC, Jerry Jones told Stan Kroenke. Jerry Jones also got Oakland to Las Vegas. Jerry has been on the forefront of convincing other owners for years and years. NFL was anti-Vegas. Jerry got into a room and convinced them. Those days are over. Wasn't much long after, gambling, sports gambling legalized in America. Jerry, very much. People don't like to move teams. Said, let's get to Los Angeles. Stan Kroenke's like, I'm not sure how this is going to play. Jerry said, you got a bunch of land out there. Go build a stadium. Less than 3 years in the league, the Rams already have a brand established. And by the way, this is what every league is looking for. The Celtics have a historic brand. The Lakers have a brand. Golden State now has a brand. The problem with the Knicks is they don't have a brand. That's why it's an underperforming franchise. NFL loves brands. Green Bay's got a brand. Great quarterbacks. You know, the wholesome city in a small town. Green Bay's a brand. The Cowboys, the Steelers, the Patriots. I mean, this is, give Jerry Jones credit. He got Stan Kroenke in this league. They didn't want to do it. They hadn't moved teams in a while. He got them to move to L.A., and 3 years in, we have another established brand, and it's the glitz glamour brand in the NFL. I'm not saying it's going to win a bunch of Super Bowls, but brands are important, and Jerry deserves a lot of credit.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Let's go to Greg Olson via the Coward Global Satellite Network. 12 NFL seasons, three-time Pro Bowler. My guess is he's going to end up in the Hall of Fame. And he's also, if he wants to quit, he's going to have multiple networks bidding for his rights as a broadcaster. Greg, it's good to see you again. I want to throw something out, and you tell me it's an advantage. So the New England Patriots, Stephon Gilmore, played for 4 years in a row with Robert Woods of the Rams, knows every move. The Patriots faced Robert Woods for years. The Patriots, by the way, had Brandon Cook for a year. They know his strengths and weaknesses. The Patriots had Aqib Talib for 2 years. Is it an advantage for the Patriots that they know key members of the Rams personnel?
Yeah, I think to a degree. I think especially a team like New England, right, who is so interested in turning over every stone, gaining every advantage possible. They think of every single scenario. Yeah, they know if Robert Woods struggles with press versus off. They know what routes he struggles getting in and out of breaks. They know the intricacies. They saw him every day in practice. Their coaches knew what he struggled with, what he couldn't do. Brandon Cooks, I'm saying. So, like, they understand what these guys can and can't do better than almost anyone. Playing against Robert Woods up in Buffalo, they can see what he does. You know, I think there is something to that. Now, again, it's a different scheme. You know, Sean McVay is going to have his counter to that, right? They're going to have their counter to Belichick taking away, you know, what L.A. is going to do. So I think that chess match is interesting, but I don't think there's anyone better at isolating your weaknesses and exploiting them more than Belichick and just generally the Patriots.
You know, you were at a Super Bowl, and in the Super Bowl, the first one, I have Russell Wilson on next hour. He went to two, his first one. Is the week of practice and the extra week and the relatives and the tickets, was it hard? Was it a different week?
It's definitely a different, you know, it's really a different 2 weeks. You know, you do a whole week of practice on the front end back at your facility back home. Then we traveled on Sunday, had a practice Monday, and then went through another entire prep week. It almost was too much practice, too much downtime, too much meetings. You know, you kind of overthink it. You know, we're so routine oriented, yeah. Colin, in the NFL, where every Wednesday is a Wednesday, every Thursday is a Thursday, and we just clip off week after week after week. And when you're rolling, you don't want the bye. Well, we were rolling off the NFC Championship. We just put up 45-plus points against the Cardinals, you know, one of the top teams in the league that year, and got a bye that we didn't, you know, in essence had an extra week. And, you know, it hurt us. We really peaked 2 weeks too early, and offensively we just really played poorly. And I think we didn't do a great job handling the changes that Super Bowl buildup led to. And as a result, we squandered a really promising opportunity.
Are you, or how surprised are you that the Rams got Talib and Marcus Peters and Ndamukong Suh and Dante Fowler, guys who had either underachieved, guys who had at times had, you know, a little baggage here and there, and yet it's worked, Greg? As you watched the Rams from afar, were you kind of surprised they were able to take a young quarterback, a young coach, superstar running back, free agent trade guy with a little baggage, and it all kind of worked? It surprised you.
I didn't know a lot about Sean McVay. You know, coming from his background with Washington and got that job. I think everyone had the same reaction. I just don't think anyone who watches closely, someone who follows the game, I don't think it took long to realize there was something unique about him. There was something, and I'm not talking about his play design and scheme. I think when you hear him talk, I interacted with him a little bit last year when I ran into him at NFL Honors, and you can be around him for a couple minutes, and he just has a very unique kind of charisma that comes across. And again, let's not forget, here's a young guy that's being questioned. It'd be very easy for him getting in this job to be very insecure, surround himself with his people. And who does he hire? He hires Wade Phillips. He hires a guy that if he gets off to a really bad start out there, coming off a terrible couple years with Jeff Fisher, if he gets off to a similar start, that's the coach, interim coach in waiting on your staff. He was confident in himself saying, listen, I don't have all the answers. I can deliver a message. I can run an offense. But I'm going to get an associate head coach, in essence, to run the defense and someone that I can lean on. I think that move sums up what is very, in a very selfish and a very, you know, uncomfortable NFL world that we create. Sean McVay was so confident in himself, he was not threatened by anybody.
By the way, how do players look at Brady, not just his longevity, but the fact that he's done something which is generally not cool? He's taken pay cuts. He's done it like Tim Duncan. I mean, he's going to sign another extension. He's going to probably make about $15 million a year, which makes him the 28th highest paid quarterback. Are there a few guys in the league that look at Brady and think, okay, enough is enough. You're killing us here in the free agent market.
I'm sure there are. And I think he's learned a long time ago that striking while it's hot and maximizing your pay is not always in your best interest. Sustained success, both individually and as a team, that's the true ticket, right? That's the true path towards making a lot of money, being the best player of all time. There's a lot that goes into it. In today's world, with the quarterbacks around the league taking up as big a percentage of the cap that they are, you know, you got guys making $30-plus million a year on a $150, $160 million cap. There's only so much now to go around you, and I think he's understood that for a long time. He has a unique situation, obviously, with his ability to generate income in other areas, but winning has been that's the backbone of his career. He's not, not the yards, not the touchdowns. Winning is what he's known as. And I think he would take that over every other, recognition, every other record that you could throw out there.
Okay, you've played 12 years. You've had some injuries. How shocked are you? And I know tight end's a much more physically imposing position, more daunting than a quarterback. But are you kind of shocked that Brady against the Chargers, that's as good as I've ever seen him play? Like, you ever just go, is it the kale pajamas? I mean, are you kind of amazed by it?
It is. I mean, listen, he has really devoted his entire lifestyle to playing quarterback for a long time and at a high level and in a very late stage of his life. And, to be talking about playing to his mid-40s, late-40s is almost unheard of. And it's not even so much that he's able to play. It's that he's able to lead his team to the Super Bowl and not just be a member, right? So we played Peyton Manning that year in the Super Bowl. He's Peyton Manning. He's an all-time great player. That defense and that circumstance is what, at least in the Super Bowl, beat us. Brady is still the number one factor preparing to play. And at his stage of his career, that's unheard of. It's truly remarkable. A lot of it's his preparation, his mindset, his training routine. It's a little different, but it works. It works with what he's asked to do. It works within the scheme of what he's asked to do. He's not going to run around. He's not looking to be a hero and get hit. He's going to just stand there and throw the ball. And as long as his arm works and his brain works, he's in good shape.
Greg, continued success. You're one of the good guys. Thanks, bud.
Thank you. Always enjoy it. Thanks, buddy.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
My buddy, my guy, he's going to be a first ballot guy, Hall of Fame guy, via the Cowher Global Satellite Network, Russell Wilson, Super Bowl champ, been to a couple of these things. Great to see you, Russ. You're ready to go. I know you'd rather actually be in the game, but I want you to take my audience back to your first Super Bowl. A lot of media. You were becoming a star. A million requests. Did you find it, like the Rams this week, a little disruptive and out of your usual habits?
No, I think that you prepared for it. I actually prepared for it the year before. You go back to 2012, I think about my rookie year. I actually actually went to the Super Bowl to experience all that, to understand what it would be like just in case I went the next year or whenever it would be. And so I prepared for that. I prepared for what the halftime would be like. I prepared for what the media could be like potentially. And so that helped me going into 2013 being prepared for, hey, you know what? Embrace it. Don't fear it. And so, you know, listen, you either love the big moments or you don't. And I think that you look forward to them. I definitely look forward to them, that's for sure.
You know, it's interesting. I've heard players say this before, that as a quarterback, you can be excited, Russ, but you can't get too excited because it'll hurt your accuracy. You know, you'll be too amped up. The first series of the game, do you remember it? Do you remember trying to kind of control your energy? Can you take us back there?
Yeah, I felt cold as ice. I felt ready to go. I felt like it was I was meant to be there. There's a saying that I always tell myself, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. And that kind of just gets my mind right. You know, funny thing is about the coin toss. One of my favorite things about the Super Bowl, going back and even watching all the Super Bowls in the past, you know, 20 plus years of my life, you know, it was one of my favorite things is the coin toss. And why? It's because you realize that you're actually at the Super Bowl because of the flashing lights, right? You know, when
right.
people kick up the ball off and everything else. And I'll never forget this funny story. I would go out for the coin toss and Peyton Manning's coming across the way, Champ Bailey. And next thing I know, I go out for the coin toss and it's Joe Namath out there ready to do the coin toss. And we flip the coin and he flips it too early. Right, he flips the coin toss too early, and the ref catches it in the midair. He said, "Hey, Joe, we gotta let him call heads or tails, you know." And he goes to me, "You know, Russell, I always had a quick release, you know." So that kind of broke the ice for me pretty early.
Yeah, it did. You know, you faced the Rams twice this year now, Russ, and they were really, really good games. In fact, the first game they may have been undefeated; they were on a roll, and you guys, it came down to the last play. Take my audience, Russell, into what that defensive front is like. They have a very aggressive, talented secondary. What do the Rams do that you found, you know, disruptive or difficult defensively?
Well, I think, you know, going back to those games, you know, we were right there. First game we played at home, I think they were 8-0, 7-0 at the time.
Yep.
We had an unbelievable game. We scored 31 points in that game. We had the ball on the 31-yard line going in with less than 2 minutes to go, I believe, and we get two penalties in a row, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Kicks us out of field goal range. We don't get to win the game to kick a field goal or score a touchdown. You know, and then they end up winning the game. The second time we go to a tough environment in L.A., all the Malibu fires were happening. It was a very emotional game.
Yeah.
We go back and forth. We score 31 again, maybe even more, and they end up scoring a couple more points than us again. So, you know, I think the thing about their defensive line, it starts with Aaron Donald. You got to double team this guy all game, all day.
Yeah.
But the problem is you got Ndamukong Suh sitting next to him. And the biggest thing they did was they got Fowler, which is the biggest acquisition they had really throughout the season,
yeah.
who makes plays. And now Tlaib's back, so they're going to be ready to play some football. They're a very, very good football team.
Now, let's talk now about facing Belichick. You had success. You moved the ball. In fact, I remember in the second half, you have a lead on them. And most teams in the second half, you know, the offense dries up against New England. It did not with you and the Seahawks. So let's go back to that. What did Bill throw at you, Belichick, that was a little wrinkle, Russ?
Yeah, well, you know, what they did to us, you know, first of all, they just rushed, you know, they would only rush two guys at a time. So I'd be sitting there just kind of hanging out. They'd drop everybody else out. And we were able to make a lot of big plays down the field and make some key crucial plays throughout that game in the Super Bowl. And obviously the last one didn't work the way we wanted to. But, you know, they end up, you know, we had the lead. They end up coming back, unfortunately, with, I don't know, 6 minutes to go. And we end up getting the ball 2 minutes. And I look forward to those moments. We go all the way down the field and unfortunately it doesn't work out for us. But the other two times we played them too, in my rookie year, we played them at home, and then the year after that, I believe, after the Super Bowl, we played them at New England.
Yep.
And it was a back and forth game. We end up scoring a bunch of points. They end up scoring some points too as well. And it comes down to the fourth down and one. Tom has the ball on the 1 yard line, and they don't get it. So, you know, listen, this is going to be a tremendous game. I think that the thing about Bill Belichick is he's going to have a note card of defensive calls. He's not going to try to do too much. He's going to do it right, and you got to execute better than they do.
And finally, Russ, when you look at, you face Jared Goff, and I remember, I think you said this once to me, that you came into the league And it was about year three when everything kind of clicked. The game slows down. It's hard for young guys. Now, Goff now is in year three. And you were successful before that, but it is hard to go from the Big Ten, the Pac-12, to NFL schemes and defenses. So Jared Goff now, you've seen a lot of him the last couple of years. What do you like about him?
Well, he's poised. He's calm. He's got a great coach. They got great players around him. You know, I think the thing about this game is he's just got to do what he does best, you know, and facilitate the ball, make his big throws. You know, I really like his demeanor a lot. So he's going to be a great player for a long time.
Okay, Russ has been on Team Bose for forever. By the way, I've got one of those radios since 2014. You're also teaming with a free app called Tally. What is it?
Well, you know, first of all, with Bose, it's super exciting. I got these new frames, by the way. They're pretty sick.
All
okay,
right.
There's these glasses, you know. I'm walking around the streets of Atlanta, you know, hot Atlanta with these glasses on, listening to my music, you know. Sierra's performing nice. I'm getting my mind right. And then, obviously you mentioned the Tally app. Tally's pretty cool. It's a fun predictions game where it's free to play and people get to play it. It's basically 12 questions. Think HQ, but for live events, live moments like the Super Bowl, live moments like NBA Finals, NBA games. The Bachelor, even, you know, the Oscars, the Grammys, those moments are always great. So there's this new app called it's called Tally. Go download it, playtally.com. It's a lot of fun, and you know, for this game, you can win up to $250,000 if you get it all the answers right. So everybody should go play. It's super exciting. It's a lot of fun. So go play Tally. It's really cool, and I'm gonna do it while I'm wearing these glasses while I do it, Colin. If you don't mind.
No, I don't mind. My sister never liked sports until Russell Wilson. Became the Seahawk quarterback, and you're my sister's favorite player, and the only reason my sister never liked sports, and I was a sports junkie, so you've made the family closer. I'm a huge fan. I love having you on, Russ. Good luck to you.
Well, it's always a pleasure, man. Hey, go Hawks. I'll see you soon.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
It's funny about the word committed. And, you know, Brady's taken commitment to a new level. He won't drink a beer during the season, you know? Like, that's true. That I you know, and we talk about on this show, the audience doesn't see it, but we come in and for 2.5 hours every day, we sit and just bang on a table trying to get topics. You know, we've all had the more or less successful person in our family where they think 45 hours a week is really committed, and you're like, I work 65 hours a week, that's why I'm more successful. Commitment's a really interesting word. What is truly committed? One of the things where, like, Brady and Tim Duncan are more committed than, I think, a LeBron James. LeBron James is physically committed. He's mentally committed. But LeBron James doesn't have to take the salary he takes. Duncan and Brady, their commitment isn't just a body, isn't just a practice, isn't just to lifestyle. It's to the commitment I'm going to take less. Now, I know Tom's married to a supermodel. He has all that ancillary income. Well, so does LeBron. It's called a $1 billion lifetime Nike contract. LeBron makes more money with Nike. Aaron Rodgers makes over $10 million a year with commercials. Like, commitment's a funny word. What Brady and Tim Duncan have done is, I'm not just committed at practice, to schemes, to being amenable to coaching. I'm so committed in a salary cap league, I'm going to take less money. That's a different level that LeBron doesn't do. Kobe would not do. Aaron's not willing to do. For a long time, Drew Brees would not do it. And I just don't think we ever think about that. And I know what you say, well, Brady's got a supermodel wife. Aaron Rodgers makes over $10 million a year, I've been told, on commercials. He doesn't have to take $33 million. He could take $27 million and they could have two more players. And I'm just saying, what does commitment mean? You think prepping for a radio show 40 minutes is commitment. I see 2.5 hours. Rush Limbaugh may do 4.5 hours. I think one of the great, because I just saw a story here where Robert Kraft is open to extending Tom Brady. And Brady right now is the 27th highest paid quarterback in the NFL. And you could say, well, he's got money, but it's all about respect and ego. I mean, Tom obviously doesn't need money. He'll never spend it. Well, either does LeBron. I mean, Tim Duncan. when you're able to be still at the top of your game, and I keep saying Brady and Duncan because I don't think they're the best they've ever been. I do think there is some erosion, but, Duncan won a title over Miami late in his career. But it's a commitment. If you want to go really deep on commitment, some of it is in a salary cap league, I'll take less. And by the way, before you say, well, that's, by the way, NBA players take less all the time. Kevin Durant took less to go to Golden State. Anthony Davis is going to take less to go to the Lakers.
Chris Bosh and Wade took less.
Took less. So don't tell me players won't take less. NBA players take less all the time. LeBron could easily, more than any player, get paid significantly less and not demand it if he could. You know, the union obviously wants him to take the most. But I would say this with all players. We don't consider Brady's willingness to constantly restructure his deal as a thing. And we never talked about it with Tim Duncan, but there's no question the Patriots dynasty has been extended due to it, and the Spurs dynasty was extended to Duncan's selflessness. Didn't have to, just didn't take the money. So I don't just buy it's always, Tom Brady's wife's a billionaire. Well, these NBA guys make so much money on shoes and merchandise that NFL guys don't. Tom Brady doesn't make any money on his cleats. These NBA guys make – Derrick Rose made $100 million on shoes, and he barely wore them because he was never healthy. NBA guys make a fortune on gear. They're like golfers. So what's your commitment? How deep does it go? By the way, Nick Wright earlier this morning on what Brady should look for in his next deal.
I would try to exert a little bit of leverage and say, hey, I have taken below market deals every year. I will continue to do that for you. But I've said I want to play till I'm 45. I want this contract to take me till I'm 45. That's a 3-year deal, and I'd like it to be guaranteed. So if you want me to play for 15 to 18 million a year the way I have been over the last 4 years when other guys are getting 28, Rodgers and Stafford getting 30 plus, I will play for half of my market value. But I want 3 years, 45 million, call it that, tacked on to the end of it, and go ahead and make that a fully guaranteed contract.
I think it's a very interesting proposition. I'll ask you, Joy. If Brady told you, I'll take $15 million a year, that is in the Tyrod Taylor class. I'll take it. But you got to give me 3 years. You own the Patriots. Would you do it?
Yes, of course you do it.
Well, I would too. I'm just, because let's say you get 2 more years at this kind of level. Who cares if at that point...
If he said he's going to play till 45,
yeah.
If he's asking for a deal that takes him to 45 and it's guaranteed, then before his last year, if you see any erosion, you draft a quarterback.
Right.
Or you make provisions. He's told you he's going to play that long.
Yeah.
We know that he's not going to play till he's 50 or I don't know. Actually, we can't really say that. We're not going to assume he's not going to play that long at this level. So he's giving you the opportunity to make those plans if he sticks to that.
By the way, I've been told this year by somebody I trust, New England has 12 picks. They will draft a quarterback. Now, I don't think it'll be their first 2 picks. But remember, New England's got 6 picks in the first 3 rounds. That is a lot of picks. So I think New England's going to draft a quarterback with one of their first 6 picks. Now, they're going to go to find an edge rusher. They want another corner. Their tight end is a huge need for them.
And by the way, that means nothing that they're going to take a quarterback.
No, they should. I always said if I ran an NFL franchise, I would draft a quarterback every year. Now, some years it would be like John Elway got the kid from Northwestern in the 7th round. But it doesn't even matter. If I have Jared Goff and I'm the Rams and I have my full complement of picks, draft picks are like 40-50% once you get past the 2nd round and making a leak. I take a quarterback either every year or 2 out of 3 years. You just don't know when you're going to find a gem. And by the way, if they do become Garoppolo and a gem, well, you got either a great backup or you got trade value.
Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
By the way, I was talking to a scout in the NFL last night, and he said it's a real thing. He said, don't kid yourself. He goes, a really big advantage for the Patriots. And he goes, I don't think it's just a small advantage. Belichick is really good. Once guys get into the league, Bill's made some mistakes in the draft, okay? But he said, once guys get into the league, Bill's a great talent evaluator. Once guys get into the league on what fits, how to stop players. And the Rams' 2 biggest offensive threats on the perimeter, Brandon Cooks, played for the Patriots last year. Bill knows all of his strengths, all of his weaknesses, what routes he runs well, what routes he doesn't. And so the Patriots have intimate knowledge of Brandon Cooks, what he can do, what he can't. All those corners for New England, they've all covered him at practice for a year. That is a big advantage for New England. And Robert Woods. Robert Woods played for 4 years in Buffalo. Belichick has faced Robert Woods many, many times. And to add to that, Stephon Gilmore, the best corner for the Patriots, played with Robert Woods for 4 years. You don't think Stephon Gilmore knows every single move of Robert Woods? The other thing is, so those two big offensive weapons, this is what worries me for the Rams. I don't know if Todd Gurley's healthy. So if Todd Gurley, and I'm not sure he's been healthy since late October, if Todd Gurley's not 100%, and he wasn't last week, he lost confidence. He couldn't catch. He couldn't block. There is a big advantage for New England here on the perimeter. Belichick knows NFL players. Now, again, he's not always been the best drafter. He's made plenty of mistakes. Once guys get in the league, Bill knows weaknesses, strengths. He's really an NFL guy. He leans on Saban, Urban Meyer, some of his guys for college stuff, and people in his staff for college stuff. Bill's not sitting on Saturday night watching hours and hours of college football. Some coaches do. But he knows Brandon Cooks, and he knows Robert Woods. Aqib Talib was with him for 2 years in the Patriot system, so he knows his vulnerabilities and his strengths. Those are three really important players in this game. Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks, and Aqib Talib. All Rams, all very, very important players, and they know them really, really well. And I haven't heard anybody talk about that. You know, it's not maybe a sexy, glamorous topic, but, you know, it's something.
Well, we've been talking about it a lot with the Todd Gurley, CJ Anderson situation. It's a huge advantage for Bill Belichick to not know what's going on there, because he always takes away your biggest weapon.
Right.
So if your biggest weapon in Todd Gurley eliminates himself, I mean, you assume that they're going to do whatever they can to take Robert Woods out of the game if that's their number one receiver and the most reliable target.
It's interesting, Joy, because I don't know. If I have Stephon Gilmore, I can put him on Robert Woods. I'm not sure I have to double. I think that's a good matchup. I advantage nobody. I think that's a really good matchup. You know, we asked it this week. Is the number one weapon for the Rams was Cooper Kupp. Right. It was Gurley and Cooper Kupp. Well, Cooper Kupp's gone, and Jared Goff's numbers have come down. I think if Cooper Kupp was in this game and Todd Gurley, I knew 100% healthy, I think I'd take the Rams. I mean, I would have no problem with it. My reluctance to take the Rams is all statistical. Cooper Kupp left, ACL, Goff's never quite been the same. That's factual. To the point where Sean McVay went and got another running back because he knew they had to become more run-centric. And for the record, should also be noted that you and I don't know how healthy Gurley is. Everybody on the internet last week was trying to figure out, you know, how healthy is he? I don't know. I just know he wasn't completely healthy.
Right.